like how
yeah,
me
we're
talking
recording,
about I like how me talking about Michael B. Jordan dick made you realize that we saw Gone Girl this weekend.
Yeah. Well, I did see the Ben Affleck peen for maybe a split second.
Oh, so you got to see it. I did not.
Yeah, because it's when they get into the shower at the end.
Yeah.
He steps in, and there's a blatant, unnecessary shot of a penis moving into frame. It's just like, why?
I didn't see it. My screen was cut off.
I mean, there's really no need for the peen.
So I was so disappointed.
It's a pretty healthy-looking dick, too. I can't say it's Ben Affleck's for sure, because it's not connected to his body, but it's definitely some kind of peen.
It's floating, huh?
Well, yeah, it's like Jerry O'Connell's dick in that Piranha movie.
Oh.
So it's sort of just
too
there.
Bad Gone Girl wasn't in 3D.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the scene when she was washing Doogie Howser's blood off.
Yeah, yeah, like because she didn't want him to wear a wire or whatever when she told him what was going on.
That's from the book, though. It's pretty funny.
Is the book funnier than the movie, or what would you say?
Well, I think the major difference that there's a couple things that I wish the movie would have had from the book that they didn't put in there. I you know the scene where he goes talks to Scoot McNairy.
Which one's that?
Or whatever his fucking name is, that guy that was from Nonstop.
Oh, but what scene though? Sorry.
Oh, the scene where Ben Affleck is trying to find another guy that Amy has fucked over.
Oh, that guy. Yeah.
And he goes to that dude who's going to be the Flash in the next Superman movie.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
And well, in the book, there's like two other people that he goes to talk to. And one of them is Doogie Howser. And another one is a girl. Now, the girl is someone in high school who, according to Amy and her parents, was like worshipped her and was like swim fan.
Okay, yeah.
But it ended up being, no, she just was getting more popular than Amy. So Amy like sabotaged her life.
Huh, interesting. Okay.
I think it would have been a better the dichotomy, because it sounds like she hates men, whereas in the book she just hates everybody. The movie, it's more man bashing, I guess.
So she's just a complete bitch,
basically. Oh, she's the biggest cunt in fiction.
Yeah, I mean, she was pretty awful. I mean, even though Ben Affleck cheated on her, there's still no redeeming qualities for her.
No,
that I could see.
Well, that's what everybody, like, if you read the, like, people's reviews on the book, like, on Goodreads or something, about 90% all say the same thing. It's like, I hate both these characters. I just don't like it. It's just, I don't get why everyone loves it. And it's like, I kind of like that about the book and the movie. It's like, there's two awful people found each other.
I don't know. He didn't come across as being that bad, though. I mean, he cheated on her, but that's because he's a little bitch.
The book, he's a little worse.
Okay.
I think the problem with the movie is you have the focus on Affleck, who's kind of, I mean, I like Ben Affleck, so I think that maybe just he comes off kind of nice in this movie, where in the book he just is kind of more of a doofus.
Yeah, I thought in the movie he seemed very sympathetic right from the start.
Yeah, he's too sympathetic, and that's a problem. In the book, he's more of a... The way she describes him is like he's an 80s jock villain physicality.
Alright.
Which I thought was perfect. But it's like, you know, who do you cast for that? If it was Bradley Cooper, maybe it'd work better.
I could see that, especially if it's more like Wedding Crashers Bradley Cooper.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that kind of angle. That'd be good.
Because Bradley Cooper usually turns out to be annoying in everything he's in, so I think I'd believe it more if Bradley Cooper was the guy getting screwed in Gone Girl.
Well, I did like that off topic, but that American Sniper trailer.
Oh, it was awesome.
That looked really good.
It was like a short film. It was awesome. It was perfect. It was probably one of the better trailers I've ever seen.
Yeah, that was terrifically cut. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. It looks like Clint Eastwood might have another fucking Oscar on his mantle, old bastard.
Eh, he deserves it. It's fine.
Hey, Steven Spielberg turned that movie down. I wonder why.
Oh, that's interesting, really. I didn't know.
Yeah. Well, that was supposed to be Steven Spielberg's next movie.
But he's still doing some Cold War movie with Tom Hanks.
Yeah, who cares?
That looks so boring. I have zero interest in that. I have no.
Well, I still haven't seen War Horse, so I could give a shit about what Spielberg's up to.
You don't need to see War Horse. That's definitely skippable.
I saw Tintin. That was enough.
And we saw that on TV. We didn't even pay for that.
Exactly. We stole that screener.
And, another funny thing, too. When I saw it at the theater, this Gone Girl.
Saw it in the theater? I downloaded it.
They had no trailers.
Really?
I think it was a mistake on the projectionist part. But, yeah.
Maybe.
At first, I was like, this is certainly a long logo. This Fox logo is just kind of like hanging there. And then when the Regency logo came up, I was like, okay, this is the movie.
Right? Yeah,
This is not a trailer.
Well, there wasn't anything attached to it, so I didn't get any good trailers on mine.
Oh, the American Sniper wasn't on that? Or
no, wasn't. I saw that online.
Oh, okay.
I think 50 Shades of Grey was on there again, and I was just like, ugh. Reminded that movie's coming out. I think everybody forgot.
Yeah, for good reason, Richard, for good reason. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, Gone Girl, though, I thought the pacing was really well done. It never really ebbed and flowed. It just had this kind of constant feel where plot points are being beaten out and characters are being developed and you learn more about people and the story. And I don't know, I thought that was an interesting, for me as I saw it, like an interesting direction to go. I mean, it never really had it had a climax, I guess, but I mean, not in the traditional sense of, like, it's really building towards that, I guess. I don't know. For me, it felt like it had a very calm demeanor when it came to its pacing.
Well, it's kind of like, I guess Fincher has this very, very specific way of making these kinds of movies where they don't have resolutions.
Right, yeah, it definitely didn't. Which I liked,
Well, no, I'm fine with that, yeah. Because I was watching Zodiac again the other day.
Ugh,
with commentary.
Brilliant. Yeah.
And I think that might be his masterpiece.
Oh, no, I think it's unquestionably. Yeah.
I kind of like it the most out of all of his catalog. I love Social Network, love Fight Club, love Seven, hate Benjamin Button. Girl with the Dragon Tattoo is okay. I don't hate it, but I don't like it.
It's passable, but I wouldn't watch it again.
Yeah, it's basically the Swedish version, but done with green tinge filter.
Yeah, and I thought when
a better cast.
When I first saw those credits, those, like, I don't know, oil credits or whatever those were.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, this is already too much for me. I don't know. What's the point of all this crap? Just show me the movie.
Forget this, Finch. I'm out.
And so at least Gone Girl was fast with those credits. They're just in and out.
Well, it was strange, too, because it was that, it was like postcards, basically. Every shot for the credits were basically a shot and then credits, shot, credit, shot, credit. And it was so fast, it was hard to keep up. I started having an epileptic seizure.
Yeah, I had a feeling he just wanted to get through it. And
yeah.
And he had sort of a motif of what he wanted to show. You know, really some symbolic crap and
all
that stuff that was there. But no, I think he really wanted to get to the story a little bit faster.
Yeah.
Which was, thank God, because sometimes he can be a little slow, but she gets kidnapped pretty quickly. As far as the
it moves pretty well. The pacing is pretty good.
And there wasn't as much green tinge on this one. I didn't think it wasn't quite as noticeable.
No, it's all the same.
But like Patrick Fugit, man, he was like a big dick in like the whole fucking thing. He was awful.
Patrick Fugit was like in it for 10 seconds.
He was, but he was just like a total douche.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
And her parents were goofy, too. I like them. They were really silly.
Well, that's the other thing that I didn't like. In the book, the parents play a much bigger role.
And they're barely in this movie.
They're barely in it. And I think that what you take away from the book is you really hate the parents. And I think in the movie, they're just kind of there in the background. So I'm assuming they must have cut all the stuff out with the parents. Because I really wanted to see the sequence where, because in the movie she tells Ben Affleck that her parents came and took the trust fund,
Right.
But in the book, there's a whole scene with Amy sitting down with the parents, and they're talking to her about, like, well, you know, technically this isn't your money, so just think of it as giving back to us for giving you. I mean, they play it off like so horrible. Mm-hmm. So in the book, they just come off as such like scumbags that I kind of wanted that to happen in the movie, but I guess for time, they must just not have put it in. Maybe because like Gillian Flynn was trying to streamline the book, so I think she just felt like, you know what, it's between these two characters, I'm just going to focus on these two.
Yeah, and I thought she did a nice job too, adapting the book. I mean, I haven't read the book, but I think as far as her translation, it seemed pretty seamless.
Well, the other problem though I had with the movie from the book is like the sequence where they're playing miniature golf,
right?
And her money falls out.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't happen in the book. In the book, they figure out that she's actually Amy, and they sort of accost her in her room, kind of like what happens in the movie. But I don't think they hit her. I don't think there was any violence. It was just basically, you know, give us the money. We know you have money because we know you're her.
Right.
Whereas in this one, it was like it fell out. It was just Amy was being stupid and it fell out of her dress. Whereas in the book, Amy was doing everything right. It's just she didn't count on other people being more cunning than her. Whereas, you know, which kind of cracks the facade of Amy a bit, I think. In the book, she's too calculating. And in the movie, I guess she kind of is calculating, but she just does dumb shit. So I don't know. It kind of took me out of the movie for a moment.
No, I thought that was a good sequence, and the big laugh came when she spit in the girl's drink. Or
yeah, whatever. That was good.
Yeah, people really love that.
Yeah.
And I thought, because like Doogie Howser was in it. He had like a good weird kind of creepy thing going on.
He had a much bigger role in the book.
Yeah, I got the feeling there was stuff missing from that.
Well, he had a mother, too. Like, there's a whole mother really? Character. Oh, wow. And Ben Affleck comes and sees him in the book, and he basically interrogates him because she had this huge backstory with him, where in high school, you know, he stalked her and blah, blah, blah. Which you get from the movie, it happens.
Right.
But they don't really go in depth on that. And then, like, at the end of the book, it's great because the mother is, like, accusing Amy of murdering her son, and she knows better. But that doesn't happen in the movie, I guess, which makes sense. It's fine.
Yeah, I think for time purposes, there's a lot it must have taken.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, she's not really necessary. She's kind of a kooky Norma Desmond type.
But again, like I say, I think the focus really gets drawn towards Ben Affleck and Rosamund Pike.
Right.
Those are the two crucial characters, obviously, and it definitely comes through in the movie.
Yeah,
she was fantastic. So.
Oh, she was really good. I think she's just going to explode now. She's going to be in everything. Or she'll be like Rachel McAdams and be like, I'm very picky, and then no one will fucking work with her.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
But no nudity clause, huh?
Well, did you see her boobs at all? Or I don't even know.
Not really. You don't see them. They're kind of below frame when she's in the shower. I don't think she has a nudity. She's no nudity clause.
Yeah, you really didn't get much of a glimpse, I don't think. You saw more peen than you did boobs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's Fincher for you.
Yeah.
He'll put a cock over titties every time.
Yeah, you saw some Neil Patrick Harris bone.
Did you?
Well, when it's all bloody, kind of like laying and his like legs are spread open.
Oh, really? Oh, I didn't notice. I wasn't looking.
Well, it's like a real mangled looking dick, but it's kind of there.
Oh.
But I was surprised for is as much as Fincher loves all the weird sex stuff, that he didn't include like those like sex tapes that were in the woodshed instead of the toy dog or.
Oh, yeah, the dog. Pornos.
Yeah,
because in the book, there's a bunch of dirty-ass porno in there. I forgot about that. Wow, good pull.
But that just seems more like up his alley. I'm just kind of surprised that he didn't.
Well, that's a total Fincher joke, that dog. It had to have been. that robot dog like appears, the joke appears like three times.
Yeah, because they read it, then they show it, and then they have the robot cat.
Yeah, at the end, that's like, gotta be Fincher. Fincher's got that's his humor. It has to be.
I also like Tyler Perry quite a bit too.
Yeah, Tyler Perry was really good.
Yeah,
Art House Perry, please.
But he, I like that in an interview that he said he didn't know it was a Fincher movie going into it.
Yeah,
which is like, how do you not know?
I mean, well, I was surprised to see Reese Witherspoon was a producer.
Yeah, yeah. For a while, she was supposed to be starring in it. Yeah,
that would have been weird. I don't think she would have been good for it.
I think it could have been all right, but I think Rosamund Pike is just such a good fit.
Yeah,
I don't really need to worry about what Reese Witherspoon could have done.
Yeah,
it's just she was great, and that's all I need to know. So,
Reese Witherspoon would have been her character from Legally Blonde.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking like it would have been similar to her in Election.
Yeah,
which I don't know. That's really what they'd be going for, but that's kind of what would be my take is what she would do. So. But yeah. I like the way that they reconstruct how Amy sets it all up. I thought it was pretty clever. And then, yeah, all her escapades were pretty funny, I thought. Especially when she kind of gets mad at that girl, the
student. The neighbor.
Like the student on TV when she's watching her confess or whatever. And then she gets really angry.
Oh, yeah. Now, the best part is when she's... going off on her idiot neighbor.
When was
that? She hates the pregnant neighbor.
Yeah, yeah.
Noelle or whatever her name is. She's just like, said stupid neighbor come over. Stupid pregnant neighbor come over.
Oh, yeah.
No, which is pretty much the book, too. Yeah, Amy's just such a bitch.
No, yeah, I would figure. I would definitely assume that. And yeah. The Margot character, too, I liked quite a bit. I don't know that actress, but I thought she did a nice job.
Oh, Margot, yeah, Go.
Yeah, that was kind of a weird
sister.
Weird name.
Yeah, well, in the book, it was really awkward to read that constantly, because it's in there quite a bit.
Yeah, because how would you separate that from the verb?
When I don't know. That sounds go, tough. Go. Let's go, go.
It's like, what? No.
Stop it. Stop it.
But I did like some of the touches with the Nancy Grace type show.
Yeah.
And like how everyone wanted to go to the bar once he was accused of murder. Like that was kind of funny.
Oh, that was the other thing that was in the book and not in the movie was, which I kind of, I don't know, I guess it makes sense, but yeah, I mean, I guess it makes sense for time, but originally the interview doesn't go that great. And what happens is Ben Affleck goes into the bar, and so he's there drinking, and some chick who has a blog videotapes him and interviews him. Mm-hmm. And in the book, he comes off telling the truth because he's drunk, so he's like really putting his heart out there for Amy, and it's not he's not faking it basically.
Right,
and
yeah.
He kind of tells the whole truth in a way, mm-hmm. And that's what gets Amy to kill Doogie Howser. So there's like this whole subplot with like this blogger who hates the Nancy Grace character's show.
Right,
so she has her own internet show, and that's what pretty much saves Ben Affleck.
Okay.
Which I guess, I mean, I understand why they took it out of the movie. It's too much. It's kind of redundant. He has two interviews.
No, that would be, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it makes sense that you cut it out. It's fine. It's a small thing.
Yeah, I think overall the story was really well constructed. I like how it went quite well.
Yeah.
And then when she kills Doogie Howser, though, wow, that's like
a ton everybody, of blood. Yeah, everybody in the theater was like shocked. You could hear it. It was great. Good reaction from the crowd. They're just like, agree, yeah. What the fuck?
Yeah, and the way she kind of like smears the blood all over herself just to like make sure she really gets it on.
Yeah, that was great. And I remember watching the movie and she goes to the cameras And she puts the wine on her dress, make it look like blood's coming out of her vagine.
Yeah.
Which was like, oh, wow, what a crazy bitch.
Yeah, and I was thinking, you know what? So what? She's supposed to be there for weeks, and there's only, like, two visible sightings of her or whatever the whole time. Like, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. I felt like, I don't know, it's all movie logic, but I just thought that there wasn't really enough to kind of convince me that the FBI would just look the other way.
Yeah, well, and I think in the book, it wasn't the FBI that was interrogating her. It was the local cops. It was Kim Dickinson's character, or Kim Dickens' character, and Patrick Fugit, I think. And they go through everything trying to figure out, and they come to the holes in her story, and like she comes off and she goes, well, if you guys would have been more competent, and she comes off way more bitchy in the book than the movie, I think.
Oh, okay.
She basically like pretty much tells him, you guys bungled this case so horribly because you're so stupid, and you're Missouri cops, you're all fucking dumb, basically. She just goes off on this tirade against them. Is pretty good.
And how would you say the book compares to the movie? What would it mean?
It's pretty close.
Yeah?
Not much different. Pretty downright the same.
Is the book definitively better than the movie, or is it close again?
Oh, it's fine. It's the same. I mean, I don't know. It's just as good. It's enjoyable.
So as I haven't read the book, but I've seen the movie, is it worth it for me to read the book? Or
no.
No? Okay.
Don't even bother. Go do other things. Go read Thor.
Okay, that's fine. I'll do that.
Go read your Thor. Go read your funny books.
It's got pictures. That helps me a lot. Thank you.
Yes. But also, I guess the major difference between the book and the movie, at the end, he's writing the book. He's writing a book that is the true story of what happened to Amy. So he's been like, it's kind of like this whole, 6 months go by and he's writing the book and she's writing another book that sort of demonizes him. So she's like she's basically counteracting him, or his every move she has a counter for. And she knows that he's writing this book. Mm-hmm. And basically at the end of the movie, or at the end of the book, he has the finished manuscript and he's going to send it off. And then she says, like, I'm pregnant. Or whatever, we're gonna have a baby, and he's just like, you fucking bitch. And I guess at the very end of the book, I wish they would have kept the line in where like they have the baby, and I think they have the baby already, like flashes forward like a year or something, and they're playing with the baby, I think, or she's pregnant, I can't remember exactly, but she says something to him, and he basically in effect says, how can you even live with yourself? And that's going to be their marriage for the rest of their lives. Just total hatred. And it leaves you on such a sour note for these two. It's actually pretty great.
That sounds like a good ending. I could have done with that.
But do you think it's misogynistic, this movie? Written by a woman, mind you?
You know, that's an interesting question. But considering, I've seen Bridesmaids, Richards. And this seems like an extension of that. Of that feminine portrayal.
Wow. It's just so Melissa McCarthy should have been Amy.
So yeah, just more of the same.
I can get myself. I'm fat and I'm loud.
You know, it's worse, but it feels like it's from that same pool. So
speaking of that, I'm sorry. Yeah, speaking of fat, in the book, she goes off on this whole like, how do you, disappear when you look like you and you're on every camera, or you're on every TV station, television show, magazine cover. She says, I've been slowly gaining weight. And like she talks about how she eats shit around her husband and he doesn't even notice because like she's wearing frumpier clothes, like hiding her weight gain. Mm-hmm. And like she's they kind of allude to that in the movie. Because
I was gonna say, in the movie there's a little bit of that.
Yeah, there's a little bit of that. And there is like that whole sequence where her original plan was to kill herself. She was all down for that. And then in the book, it's more of a back and forth. In the movie, they kind of wipe away quickly, which is fine. I mean, that makes sense. But I would have liked to had more of her thinking about how she was going to kill herself, because she goes through different ideas, I think, in the book, which are kind of funny. Yeah. It would have been kind of funny. The whole, yeah, in the river thing is all from the book, and that's exactly how I pictured it, too. So me and Finch got the same eye.
Well, of course. Yeah. I mean, he called you, I'm sure.
Oh, he did. And I was just like, Dave, go do your 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea movie. Leave Gone Girl for the big boys. And he told me fuck off, and he never called me back.
Oh, well. That seems like Finch.
So, that's fine.
Yeah.
No hard feelings, Finchy.
He's okay.
Go make a girl who played with fire, but no one cares.
Well, if he wants to keep fucking that chick, I guess he has to, right?
Well, he talked about it. Did you read that Playboy interview with him?
No, you mentioned it, but I didn't read it.
It's good. It's worth reading. It's pretty interesting. He talks about that.
About what?
He goes about the whole Rooney Mara thing, mm-hmm. where he goes, like, people really took that whole relationship out of context because, like, it's just she's that way, and he was just trying to explain, like, you know, people just took it, you know, took too much out of it. He said it's just, it was nothing there. And I believe him. I think Finch is pretty much a asexual being.
I could buy it, I guess. I don't know. It's more fun to think that they boned.
Well, his wife is his producer, though, so she works with him constantly.
It hasn't stopped a lot of people from boning, so I don't know.
Chris Nolan and Emma Thompson.
Well, why would you pass on that?
Emma Thomas. I'm sorry, Emma Thomas. No. Either one, Emma Thompson. I'd take them both. That'd be a great threesome.
He probably boned Emma Thompson and then blamed it on the name. He was like, honey.
I didn't know it was you.
Similar name. Come on.
I didn't know it was you. I had a funny bronca, and I was at the bar, and Emma Thompson came in, and I asked her. I had this fantasy that I was going to go and have sex with her, and I did. And I knew you'd be okay with that.
Did we ever establish what a Fernie Branca is? Or
nope.
You know what it is? No.
Not really. I mean, it's a drink, right?
Hey, one would assume.
Is it like a hot toddy?
Maybe. That sounds right. I don't know.
I would like to order a hot toddy with my Fernie Branca. And I'm going to have a grilled cheese sandwich on the side. And I'm going to have potato chips from a bag, but I prefer to have the salt and vinegar chips. That is how I want my last meal to be, while I wait for Mr. Wayne and have an affair with Emma Thompson. Okay, I'm done. I'm sorry. I don't know why every time Michael Caine comes up into my life, I just have to talk like him.
That's a pretty good one.
Sure.
I like it.
Michael Caine. I don't talk like that. Yeah, there's a great, I guess Michael Caine was on some talk show, and the guy was like, you know, a lot of people do you. He goes, yeah, I know. And he goes, can you do you? He goes, yeah, I can. And Michael Caine goes, hello, I'm Michael Caine. It was pretty good. It was pretty funny. I like Caine. I like Michael Caine. I think he gets it. He likes being an actor, and he has fun with it, and he's not pretentious. He gets it, and I like that about him. He knows he did a lot of shit, and he don't give a shit.
Well, what, he missed getting his Oscar because he was doing Jaws?
No.
Wasn't it?
No, he got it. He was there for his Oscar. I think he was probably nominated and didn't go because he was working. But I don't think he won. Maybe that's what it was.
I don't know. I think he missed it, though. Whatever.
He won an Oscar, though. I know he won for that abortion movie.
That abortion movie. Okay.
What's it called? With Tobey Maguire.
Oh, what? The Cider House Rules?
Yeah.
The abortion movie. Well, I guess that's one way to
phrase it. I'm going to suck your baby out of your vagina. I'm an abortion doctor. Oh, Michael Caine, the abortionist. Please spread your legs. I'm a gynecologist. I'll take your baby out of your pussy. With a vacuum cleaner.
I never saw that movie.
I didn't either.
But you know all about it.
Yeah, of course.
That seems fair.
I'm going to take all the minority babies out, because that's what we do. I'm going to take out all the minority babies.
Is that really what it's about?
We don't abort white babies. We abort black babies and Mexican babies. That's what we do.
Oh, you're so good.
I have no idea. Probably. I mean, I'm sure there was some kind of racial connotation in there. The cider house rules, the White House rules.
Sure. Yeah.
Why not? Speaking of White House.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? Did we even talk about the Equalizer? We didn't talk about the Equalizer.
No. Okay. Wait. Hold on. He says, this is about Michael Caine and Jaws the Revenge. Although disappointed not to be able to collect an Academy Award because of filming in the Bahamas, he was glad to be involved in the film. Blah, 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 blah. Bullshit.
Whatever. Right.
Yeah.
So what did he win for, though?
Let's see. He says about the film that the film, quote, will go down in my memory as a time when I won an Oscar, paid for a house, and had a great holiday. Not bad for a flat movie. I don't know.
He's right.
Michael Caine.
I flew a Cessna into the ocean, and I was attacked by a great white shark. And that great white shark was killed by a sail ship. A mizzen mast stabs it in the heart. And then I come out of the water, and I'm like, hey, I'm Bob's uncle, I'm still alive, eh? I'm Michael Caine.
I'm trying to see.
I'm still alive, and I'm waiting for you, Jaws the Revenge, in a Bahama shop. When I'm drinking a Fanny Bronca, and I look across the street, and I see the Jaws shark at a table. He doesn't say anything to me, and I don't say anything to him, but I know that he made it. He's, you know, the shark from Jaws.
That's so good.
That'd be hilarious to see the shark from Jaws seen at a table in Florence.
Hannah and her sisters.
That's what I was going to say. Okay. Wow, so he's won, actually, I think, 2 or 3 Academy Awards then.
Yeah, what's this? It's, I got a stat here for you. Let me see what it say.
Yeah, look up Michael Caine's awards.
Let's see, hold on.
How many BAFTAs? How many Golden Globes? I'm sure they're in the 20s.
Hold on. Let's
see. I'll win awards for doing absolutely nothing.
Probably. What do I know?
It's great. I love it. It's fantastic.
Is that how? Oh, boy, that was good. Okay, Caine is one of the only two actors nominated for an Academy Award for acting in every decade from the 1960s to 2000. The other being Jack Nicholson. Laurence Olivier was also nominated for an acting Academy Award in 5 different decades, beginning in 1939, ending in 78.
But I sucked more cock than Caine. Laurence Olivier.
But did he suck as much dick as Vin Diesel? That's the question.
Not at all. I wish I would have known Vin Diesel. I would have made him a man.
Gosh.
Laurence Olivier.
This is too good, Richard. You're too good. This is unreal.
That's all I got.
So you want to talk about Equalizer? I didn't see it. Do you want to say anything about that?
Oh, you didn't see it? Yeah, I thought you saw it.
No, I didn't see it.
Oh, well, that's fine.
So you want to talk about it or not?
Sure. It's too long. It's way too long. It takes forever to figure out who he killed. And, you know, okay, so the only beef that I had, remember the trailer where, like, the guy robs the store and he takes the girl's wedding ring and, you know, that happens? That happens in the middle of the fucking movie.
What?
After he's already killed the Russians. Wouldn't you think that would be the first part of the movie? That it would be the first 10 minutes of the movie?
You'd think.
It's like 90 minutes into the movie when that happens.
Wow.
Shocking. And it's so stupid. It was just like, you know what? Cut that part out. I don't need it. We already know what he does. You've already established that he's a badass motherfucker. I don't need to see that scene from the trailer. Just have that be the trailer sequence. And just don't put it in the movie, because we saw it. That's how you were selling the movie. And that saves like 5 minutes of screen time in a bloated picture.
Now, do you actually even see him beating the guy's head in? Or is it just all inferred?
That's all inferred. It's exactly what happens in the trailer. The guy takes the wedding ring. He gets the hammer. The next scene, the wedding ring is in the cash register. And then that's it. And he puts the hammer back, wiping it off. That's all you see. You don't see the fight. You don't see nothing. So which, literally, again, it's just like the trailer. No point. Yeah, it's the trailer. It's exactly like the trailer.
That's awful. Why?
Yeah, it's not. It's I don't know. It's stupid. It was just. It was really just too much. Because you've already established he's he does what he does. You know, we already know who he is. So that was just like, it's just too much. It's like, I already know this. You know, why are we? It's again redundancies. It's just, I don't care.
Well, I heard there's a lot of things that do happen repeatedly, like something where he's trying to like help mentor some kid who works there or something.
And oh God, yeah, that subplot sucks. And the only reason they had that, like, okay, if it was a real ballsy movie and they had that subplot at the very end, that guy would have been blown away. Because what happens he lives. He gets shot, but he lives. Because he goes back to save to help Denzel, so he saves Denzel because Denzel is like wounded and he's laying in glass and broken glass. And then he helps him up, which like is like, you mean to tell me Denzel Washington, who we've already experienced his full power in this movie, broken glass is going to be his downfall? So it's just kind of stupid.
Are there any good kills in the movie?
Oh yeah, a lot. It's super violent. I mean, it is super violent, which is why it's like, why are you trying to make this movie like have a happy ending? It's super, super violent. It can't be both things. You can't have it both ways. If you're going to go full on dark, go full on dark. Kill that fat fuck security guard.
Now, does he live at the end of the movie or?
Yes.
What?
Yeah.
That doesn't seem right to me.
And he goes back. He still lives there. So it's like at the end of the movie, after all this shit goes down, everybody at the Home Depot knows Denzel Washington is a fucking badass. And so he's got, he's a government-trained super assassin or whatever. And then, like, he still lives in the same house in Boston. Like, he goes back to his old place. So it's like, wouldn't you have to disappear again?
Yeah, I mean, even the Taken series had real consequences. I mean, those Russians just keep coming after that poor guy.
Oh, and by the way, Denzel kills the entire Russian mafia.
Like everybody?
Like, literally. He kills the entire Russian mafia. Because, like, at the end of the movie, he kills Martin Soskus or whatever his name is. And then there's the big boss is the guy who's pulling all the strings. And so Denzel flies to Moscow, kills everybody at the estate. And it's actually kind of a badass scene. Denzel is sitting in the dark in the bathroom, and the Russian mafia master is in the shower, and he's flicking the light on and off, and he goes, "I'm going to kill you." "Okay, all right then. I found you. I'm going to kill you. Denzel, I got a gun to you." He goes, I give you all you want. What money you want? You can have whatever you want. Blah, blah, blah. And he goes, okay then. All right then. And he disappears. And then the Russian comes out looking for him. And he sees the sink's still on. So the sink's overflowing with water. And it's going over the side. And Denzel, because, he's Denzel, he cut the electrical wire. So the water's slowly going, draining toward the exposed wire. And then all of a sudden, all the lights go off and you hear a, "Ah!" And he gets electrocuted. And he dies. And Denzel's walking down the stairs of this giant estate. And every corner he turns is a dead body. So he killed literally everybody in that house. There's like 5 bodyguards. They're all dead.
That's pretty good.
So it was pretty funny. But then again, that's not the end of the movie. It goes back and Chloe Grace Moretz comes back and says, like, "Thanks for helping me, blah, blah, blah," or whatever.
Is she even in it that much?
Nope. She looks good, though.
Now does she, like, just, like, disappear for most of the movie? Is that it?
Oh, yeah. She's in it for maybe 15 minutes.
Wow.
She's the catalyst, and that's it. She disappears. And it's like anybody could have played that part. And it's kind of, it's like, give somebody a chance, Hollywood. Stop casting already established actors for these tiny roles that don't really matter. Right. Help a brother,
Ugh, tell me about it.
Now, she has some hiked up stuff, though. She got some boobage going on.
Now, another question. So he reads, he's reading the Old Man and the Sea book.
That's like the first 5 minutes, then it's done.
But he's talking about some other book. Like, what book was that?
I think Ivanhoe was the other one, or Don Quixote. Yeah, I can't remember.
Okay, that's fine. Thanks. That's
cool. Well, the whole reason is, I guess his wife is dead, and his wife was trying to read the 100 greatest books ever written list.
Oh, Lord.
And he goes, you know, she got to number 95. I'm on number 91. I'm almost caught up to her.
That's so she's dead?
Yes, she's dead.
How did that happen?
You don't really know. I guess Melissa Leo kind of hints at it. Like, there was a car bomb, and he was supposed to... He's technically dead to the government, so I guess he was in the car bomb, but he's... Or he, it all was staged to look like he died. And I guess Melissa Leo is like still the director of the CIA or something like that.
His what?
Is like the director of the CIA, Melissa Leo.
Okay.
Because she lives on this giant estate with like horses, and then a fucking private helicopter drops her off from her job.
That's ridiculous.
It's funny. It's pretty funny. I mean, it's a goofy movie, but again, it's like, it is so violent that it's like, if you're going to go that far, go as far as you can go. Because people are still coming to see it. You know, it's an R-rated movie.
So don't is
have
it,
like a cutesy side character that doesn't get killed.
So was it too violent for you?
It's pretty fucking violent. He hangs a man with barbed wire in Home Depot. And like, you can hear, and he's looking at him. Like, he pulls him up. And he's like on, you know how like in Home Depot they have those giant shelves?
Yeah.
With like concrete stacked up. He's behind it. He hangs the guy with barbed wire, and the guy's going, and he's just squirting blood everywhere.
Wow.
And Denzel's just looking at him in his face, like right in his eyes as he dies. And then there's another scene where Denzel basically has a spear made out of pruning shears, and it goes through a guy's throat.
How does he kill Martin Cossacks?
Nail gun.
Oh, okay.
Is shoots that like, him about 50 times with a nail gun, then he shoots him in the fucking head.
Is that a more complicated, like...
No.
Nope. Well, I mean, do they make Martin Cossacks have to be, like, a real badass, or is it just sort of like, he's as easy to kill as anyone else?
Pretty much as easy to kill as anyone else, but he's smart.
Okay.
But, and again, and they had, like, this really awkward subplot with, like, dirty cops... It's like the dirty Boston PD was helping Martin Soskus walk around, and like they kill two of them, and one guy's left alive, and it's actually the crazy killer from Walk Amongst the Tombstones.
Oh, that's funny.
Is the Boston PD guy? He's actually not bad, but it's just a pointless subplot. It's just like, again, there's too much fat on this movie. It could have been 90 minutes easy, but it's like 2 hours and 12 minutes.
Now, what's the scene in the trailer where there's like a guy with a machine gun and he's standing in, I don't know, some sort of like, must have been, maybe there's a diner, and he's like, is it just you and me? And he's like, it's just us. And then what's that all about?
Well, that was Boston PD hire a guy to go take him out, and Martin Soskus kind of wants to watch what he does with this. So it's basically it's a dog and pony show. And it's actually a pretty good scene. Like, they're watching across the street. Martin Soskus and the cops are in, like, a SUV. And then a bus drives by, blocking their view. And as the guy gets up with a gun, he's already basically killed the guy. That's Denzel.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the... After he's already killed the guy... He shoves a fork in the outlet and all the lights go out.
Hmm.
And then they're like, what happened? What is he doing? And then Denzel Washington's walking across the street and he's taking their picture with his phone.
Huh.
And he takes Martin Soskus' picture and he figures out who he is and blah, blah, blah.
Sure. I'm sure it's as clear as day, his photo.
Oh, yeah. It's fantastic. He's really good at taking pictures.
On the fly? Just like...
Oh, yeah. Well, he's professional. He's the greatest hitman in the world.
Now, how does this rank for you as like a Denzel movie? Is it like an average one? Is it better than average?
It's better than Two Guns and Safe House. I'll give it that. But it's not as good. It's not better than Man on Fire. Man on Fire is still one of his better ones.
Okay, yeah, because I did kind of like Safe House, actually.
I don't know. Safe House was kind of eh.
Well, like, once you got to him, it was cool. And then the ending was kind of lame with what's his, like, the... I can't think... Brendan Gleeson, that's kind of a lame ending.
Yeah.
But I thought, like, the middle part was all right. It was just when he started off alone with that Green Lantern doofus, and then...
Please, Deadpool. Deadpool, please.
He hasn't even signed on yet. Don't even...
Do you think they're going to let him do it, or do you think they're going to cast somebody else?
You know, if they're going to go PG-13, they're playing it safe. I think they might let him do it.
Really?
Well, they just want to have a lot of writing on it.
You don't think he's burned his box office bridges?
Not enough. I think this is one where it's... I think they'll... Also, they'll be able to get him for cheaper, too. I mean, that's a plus. I mean, he'll do it for almost nothing.
But well, he's been tied to that character for so long.
I think one of the benefits of that character, along with a lot of these characters, though, is that you could go with someone else, because it is just the character. You're not selling the actor. No one cares about that. It's true, yeah. It's like...
He's basically a mask.
Yeah, it's like, who gives a shit who voices that thing? Doesn't make much difference.
You could have some martial artist play him in the suit and have Jonah Hill voice him.
I was gonna say they should just get Ray Park to do him in the suit.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly.
And then, you know, voice him over with some doofus. I don't know. I don't care. Somebody.
Michael Caine. I'm a sarcastic talking killer. It's great. I'm a mutant, in a way. I order myself a Ferny Bronco, and I play with two katana swords. I'm Deadpool. I'm going to be in the X-Men franchise, too. I'm going to fight Apocalypse. Apocalypse, I saw you in Florence, and I just knew that you were going to be okay. But
it's good.
Well, all right, well, let's go to the bar then, huh? Let's go have some Ferny Broncos.
Yeah, it's a late night. All right.
On Michael Caine's tab.
Sounds good to me.
Night.
Good night.